All righty, welcome to seventh call, love and self, or love of self. I was never quite sure what we decided on, but I'm sure we can include all of it. So I'm really excited about having this conversation. I really am interested in whether you had a chance to see anything that was in the forum, contribute anything, what your thoughts are, and I'm going to turn it over to you. I don't know if you notice, I'll just say this before I turn it over, is that I did a kind of late minute post in our forum of another meditation. It's about 6 minutes long, but I discovered it because I had done it a few years ago in a Healing Touch practice group. And I discovered it as I was doing a major year-end clean. So I thought it would be fun to share it with you all. So if you have a chance, please do. Hi, Sue. Are you having problems with your audio? No, she's still working it. Okay. So thoughts, comments, questions? Let's jump in.
Hi.
Well, this is a huge, go ahead.
I just want to thank you, all of the recordings, which I sort of ignored this until Monday. And then the last one is the static one, Squarespace. And I started reading that. And all I can say is that every single thing that you recommended helped to release just, I don't know, an energy within me to open myself up to the group, because just for me personally, I think this is the hardest thing to talk about. And yet it's sort of where the rubber meets the road. And I think everything leading up to this has, for me personally, just broken down the barriers of Zoom and not knowing people here, and my insecurities and the old tapes. And this is just the last thing, the static Squarespace, and there's a name for it. I was really happy to see that something I wrote was exactly what she was talking about. And what jumped out to me was the section, the fallacy of self-help. And I'll leave it at that. That was like, whoa. having known people in Scientology and the executive success programs, NXIVM, which most of you may be familiar in Albany, and seeing the horrors of what it did to one friend in particular. So this is just beautiful.
Great.
Thanks,
Connie.
Thank you.
Just like to add that I missed the last two sessions, but I did go back and listen to the recordings. And I don't know if any of you have done that, but they're really amazing. I'm not sure if everybody realizes the input that you each have individually, that when you go back and listen to the recording, it really kind of blew my mind, or my heart, I might say. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. Like, I want to go back and listen again. So I don't know if you've had the opportunity, because we're so focused when we're on right now. We're so focused on, you know, speaking up. But if you listen to it collectively, it really is. It's really amazing. It's beautiful. Mm. And I had sent Nina an email yesterday and just said, I don't know how you put together this group of individuals, but collectively, it really is amazing.
Well, everybody take a bow.
Yeah.
It really is. So brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hope. So Hope, since we've got you as the speaker for the moment, what did you think of this topic?
I struggle with this topic. I struggle, the whole purpose I signed up for this program, Nina, was because after leaving my job over the summer, trying to take some time off, I realized I spend so much time in my head that I wanted to spend more time here. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Love in Action, I thought, well, this is just for me. So I'm making progress on it, but slowly. But I felt it when I listened to the recording from last week. And I, when I look at all of you, I feel that. So for me, I feel like I'm just a beginner at this. But yeah, it just feels so different. I don't know what to say other than I'm struggling with it, but I really feel like my heart is opening up exactly like I wanted it to. And learning from all of your experiences and everything that everyone is sharing just is, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's, I don't have words for it, which is exactly what I wanted. I don't want to have words. I want to have that feeling. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You know, I think that we all struggle with overthinking, right? That's how we're taught. We're conditioned to rely on our analytical brains and not let that be the servant of our hearts. Yeah. So join the club.
Thank you all.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay. It took a while.
You did it.
I did it.
So, Teddy, have you had a chance to listen to anything from this week's recordings?
Yeah, I'm sorry that I can't attend a lot of these. What I've learned from this is I can't do these in the middle of my day. Mm. Even though UPH isn't really open, it still is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So usually I'm just doing stuff and I can't. But from the sessions that I've listened to and things that I've read that you've sent along, I love the quantum physics part. I learned things in that clueless about. I never even thought of them that way. The love in nature is really interesting to me because I think about that a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess that's where I find my happy place. Now, if I could be in a field surrounded by horses and be perfectly in love with everything on earth, and it's a peaceful place, right?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I cried when I listened to and watched Jason Mraz's video. I watched it early this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song. And all the images were just fabulous. I mean, just you could relate to so many of them.
Which one? There were two of his that I posted. So there was one called Love Is Still the Answer.
Love Is Still the Answer is the one I listened to.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. And all I could think of was that we've got to get him at UPH. That would be so great.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Joy, you're muted.
I was going to say, Teddy, that song always makes me cry as well because I feel like it's redemption. It's redeeming. And then the second time I listened to it, can you hear me?
Yeah.
The second time I listened to it, I feel like then it's sort of been a release and I can get about, you know, picking myself back up and moving forward. But the first time I heard it when Nina sent it to me, I just cried and cried. And this morning I did as well.
Yeah.
But the thing-
Great way to start the day, right?
Well, actually.
It is, yeah.
For me, it was because I started getting troubled last night and then had a night full of horrible nightmares. They just continued one after another. And so it was a great way to reset and say it's okay to take a big step back today. But what I was going to say about love and self, and I like that title because, and I do agree with you, Connie, that this is really the crux of it, because I don't know if we don't love ourselves, how much really we can love others, because we have to somehow feel like we're deserving enough. And maybe in any case, I'm not going to overthink that one, but it did strike me that I think that when we're young and we're just being children, I think we don't have this concept of not loving ourselves. And I do agree with Nina that it starts to come from a comment that someone makes about you, a judgment or an example that you see set. And I think that women in particular have a hard time with this concept of loving themselves, that somehow it's selfish to say no. And so the bottom line for me is, I think it's hard won. And for me, it's come later in life. It's only coming now in my 50s. And it's something I think I've struggled with probably a good part of my adult life. And yet I think it is so crucial to my happiness and my being able to be okay with being on this planet, despite everything that goes on around me. So I'm glad for this topic as well. But I also think if I hadn't been through all of the hardships that I've been through all of my life, it wouldn't be so acutely important. But I am sorry for that, quite frankly. But as I said to Nina this morning, I am where I am. So I'm grateful for that too. That's what I wanted to share.
So I'd love to ask you a question, Joy, and open it up to everyone else as well, which is, what self are we loving when we say loving ourselves?
What self am I loving?
Yeah.
I don't know if I think about being multiple selves, but I do think that being a type A overachiever most of my life, you know, being focused on security somehow drilled into me, you know, just by the things my parents said or didn't say. I can relate to the artists in this group because I feel like that was my natural calling, but yet I've been in business for over 35 years of my career and not looking to climb ladders, but always learning to grow and to make sure I was an excellent performer. And I think I am struggling with some PTSD from that. And so for me, the self that I'm loving is the self that maybe is, for me, it's my core. It's that I can take a step back. I don't have to always push. I don't have to always get over it. I want to navigate a different path that doesn't take so much energy to be other than what I am. And for this morning, just to cancel an appointment with a contractor, postpone it, or to have a good cry with Jason Mraz, or to post my thoughts, which were probably more real this morning than they could have ever been if I hadn't had all the nightmares last night. I mean, I'm going to stop. I don't know that I see multiple selves, Nina. I see maybe the self that I came into the world as. And it might manifest in different roles, but it's my core being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It seems to me, and this is what I'd love to hear your thoughts on, everyone, is that there's the self that's our true nature. And then there's the self that's been conditioned by our culture, our family, our school, politics, society, you know. But that true nature, to me, my understanding is that's, we're love, that's who we are. And then as we go through life, don't do that, you shouldn't do that, conform to this, don't behave this way. So that love that Hope was referring to gets put in a box and only let out in socially acceptable ways. And yet that self that's been conditioned to be a stockbroker or a cellist or a painter or whatever we do in life, that one has had a rough time of it, you know, because all of the hoops we have to go through to stop complying with what we're conditioned to do. And that's why, I don't know if you saw my comment, but it seems like discovering who we really are is more a process of uncovering than it is at self-improvement. As you were saying, Connie, it's just not about that. It's about seeing who we really are and being able to bring that forward. At least that's how I see it.
I agree with that. And you know, the article that I read that resonated with me the most, and I read it like several days ago, so I can't remember it. And I've read lots of things since. I can't remember the specifics, but it was about kind of, it was by Pema Chodron, and it was about being comfortable with our, exploring our neglected selves and getting comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And so it occurred to me, along with what Connie said about self-acceptance, it's about accepting those parts of ourselves that we think are unacceptable, you know? Yeah. And then I started thinking, well, what really is unacceptable? And for me, I came up with a positive kind of optimistic outlook on it. And it's things that don't move me forward to the life and possibilities that I want to have, or the possibilities I want to create, I'll give you an example, and this was kind of a neutral example, but so it's like things that I do that don't move me forward and bring me down and take, like watching news and stuff. Mm. So if I watch news too much, read too much news, think about stuff like that, politics, and it robs me of, it's unacceptable because it robs me of what I want my life to be like and the emotions I want to feel and the time I could be spending learning something new, exploring something that I enjoy, being with people that I enjoy. So I like the idea of, so that's like the neglected part of myself in some ways is all those things I could be doing other than doing that, if that makes sense. So I'm kind of like, looking at things that I do that don't enable me to be who I really want to be and gather the things that I really want to have in my life. And I'm not, of course, talking about material things. So, but what it comes down to is I have to look and see, that is the neglected part of myself that goes, you know, like, why are you, what is causing me to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. What part of me is thinking I'm getting something out of this? What is it an escape from, you know? So I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, in order to, I have to accept the unacceptable parts of me in order to be able to explore them. And then I can go, you know? So I can love what's unacceptable and look at it because I can love it. If that makes sense.
It does make sense. Mm-hmm. It does make sense. And really, who is it unacceptable to? You know, it's only our...
Right.
It's only our... what we've been trained to disabuse or reject. And in itself, it's just... it's a misunderstanding, for the most part, of what's...
it's a judgment.
What's good for us.
Exploration of how is that not serving one? Like, that's a bad part of me, but it's just like not serving me, which just takes, I mean, it just gives it a whole different density and a feeling of being able to correct it, change it, mold it.
Yeah. Which is one of the beautiful aspects of Buddhist teaching, which is to embrace those things that we find painful and unacceptable and befriend them. Because really, if we were unconditional love, we would. It's only when we forget that that's our true nature that we don't. You know, that love is our true nature. That's part of our, part of being aware, part of being conscious, is that quality of love.
That's what I was I was thinking about the Buddhist concept of the self, which is that it's part of a whole. It's not an individual self. And we were kind of talking about this before in the quantum physics stuff. I had an experience this morning of someone really criticizing me and for being having physical challenges in my life. And, you know, sort of taking that line that, well, you did it. It's something that you thought or whatever that brought this upon yourself. And I was so angry, you know, because this is a person who's never ill, never has a challenge. And I think, you know, like, what do you know about it? But as you all were talking, I was listening, I was thinking, you know, it's loving the self also means loving the self, like all the self that we are together. And so this person is a part of me and I'm a part of her. And so if I want to love all of me, then it means I also love her, even though she just kind of like beat the crap out of me, you know, that I need to find a way to be able to love that person in me, you know, that's also in me. And I really like that Buddhist kind of concept of we're all one, we're the ocean, you know, we're all waves in the ocean. And that really helps me to move forward and love myself, that self that's struggling to do whatever it's struggling to do, but also to recognize that part of loving myself is also loving those who come in contact with me, mm-hmm. and that we're all one and it's not separate. You know, yeah. I struggle with, you know, what is the self? When you asked that question right at the beginning, I was kind of like, wow, it's hard for me to define it because I can go all Western world and say it's really separate. It's my individuality. It's my strengths. It's whatever. But I really, really like and have moved increasingly forward towards the Eastern concept, which is more that we're all one together. And I'm not enlightened until you're enlightened. And I don't love myself until I love you. And so for me, that's kind of where this goes. So that's it for me.
Yeah. I've come to see, when I'm in my right mind anyway, I've come to see that when people are violent or abusive or unkind, that they're, from their point of view, they think they're doing the right thing. They're saying the right thing. What they're believing is determining their behavior. And we all have, you could say, separate realities. We all live in separate realities, even though we speak the same language and we can say, okay, this is an apple and this is a person, and we can identify objects the same. How we perceive them is different. So it kind of is silly to think because I say something, you'll know exactly what I mean. And you'll have the response that I expect, because we all, because of how we see the world, we respond differently. So there's really no blame, because everybody's doing the best they can based on what they believe is true, even though it can be really painful for everybody else. So you had your hand up.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why anymore. What was the question you asked Joy and then said everybody should speak to? Do you remember something about what is the self you're talking about?
Yeah, what is the self you're loving?
What is the self you're loving? So I've been, thinking about that through different lenses a bit lately. And things haven't felt very usual for me this last week and a half, 2 weeks. My sister died on Sunday, and I haven't been working much at all. I haven't been producing much at all, except for some really amazing art pieces, but that's about it. And I've been watching myself, and it's like that, well, what am I if I'm not working, if I'm not doing, if I'm not being in the deadlines I've imposed upon myself? What am I if I now have one less living sister? What am I if I'm getting out of bed or not? What am I if I'm eating well or not? What am I if I take my walk today or not? So what am I if I'm alive or not? So it's an interesting set of questions for sure. And I don't know that I have any neat conclusions, except to say that I haven't been able to do much work. I haven't been able to do a lot of the things I think I do, because that's just the person that I am. And so it's just some kind of really big opportunity to ask myself, what am I? What is my amness? You know, what what is my amness, and what am I loving on? So I don't fucking know.
So what is what you're saying, like, what are we without the markers of our identity and our activities?
Yeah, naked, yeah. Like naked for saying naked, yeah.
So there's an essence that exists even without all of that. And you're saying, what is that? What is that essence underneath that? And maybe it's not. Maybe it's the thing that none of us really... It's that oneness. I mean, it's that we don't experience normally.
Yeah.
And it's too bad we don't.
But we can. It's possible.
But it's possible. Right.
I am.
I am, yeah.
I am experiencing it. I didn't mean to go all I am, but I am experiencing that, like, intensely. Through losing my sister, because a lot of things have just fallen away. Mm-hmm. The things that I could lean on are just not, they're just have crumbled right now. And hopefully, I've seen that Pixar movie, so hopefully they will magically reassemble themselves in some useful way for me at some point. But right now I'm like, it's just all just.
So I know that, first of all, I'm so sorry about your sister. I have two that I'm really close with too. My mother said something to me a long time ago. She said, when someone dies, it takes about a year. You know, it takes time. So you just said something to me about, you did some really cool art projects. You produced a couple of really interesting things since your sister died. And so you carried on. I'm a big believer that you carry on no matter, you know, you don't have to have all the answers because you're not there sometimes, you know, you just kind of carry on, you know. And I think having two grown men, adult sons in my house right now because of COVID, and COVID's been kind of good for us in one way. They make me realize that I don't have to do 1,000 things every day to make a complete day. Like, they're constantly like, Mom, slow down. Mom, you don't have to watch the news. Mom, you don't have to do this. Mom. And I'm learning through their lens again, even though I'm still teaching and coaching a little bit. I'm learning through our childhood youthful lens that they're not all wrapped up in a lot of the stuff that we're doing. They just kind of live moment to moment, and they don't have to absorb the whole world. You remember that when we were kids, someone said it earlier. We don't have to continually, I feel, I'm relearning that it's okay for me to go off and ski. I've been skiing on my own. I got in my car. I get in my car every week. I all by myself. I don't invite anybody. Everybody's mad at me, but I don't care. And I just want to be by myself, and I just want to be out in nature because I don't need anything else. And so maybe we don't need as much as we think we need. You women are incredibly, to me, so beautifully creative and talented and like an intellectual. Like, no, it's amazing to me. I'm blown away by your ability to think so high. And but so my thing is that, especially working with young athletes still, because I have a team that I'm coaching right now, and it's girls, to get them to believe that everything that they do, whether they make a mistake on the soccer field or not, is valuable. But these are the lessons that make us stronger, right, Nina, in the end. I mean, this is why we're stronger and why we can embrace life more, because, you know, you take the backpack off so you can move forward. You don't carry all the weight of the world. You can't.
Yeah,
I can't. Take it off. Yeah. You know, let some of it go. And Sue, it's okay. Do one beautiful thing and then take a break for 5 days. Who cares? You know?
Yeah.
Like, fuck it.
I think that grief, though, holds up a mirror to everything that we are and everything that we do every day and makes us question. I think those questions, I've certainly experienced those questions, Sue, that you were sharing with us just recently. And when my dad died many years ago as well. And I think they're valid. I think they're valid because they really force us to stop being distracted with getting up in our roles and all the things that we do and get to the essence of, are we okay just finding a reason to exist within ourselves without, I can't even say it, but I understand it. I understand it.
Yeah.
And it's a slow process. And I also think that grief is a gift too. And as Nina helped me sort of sum up, sometimes all you can do is say that you love that person and you still want them. You wish they were still there. It's okay to say that, you know? It's okay to say that and not have all the answers right now. But I think that's also where love of self comes in, that you have to be especially diligent now to take care of yourself. And whatever you feel like doing, whatever you're feeling, find a healthy way to take care of yourself and to express it in whatever way you feel, but take care of yourself.
Yeah, lovely. And that's where love comes in, right? That's where that fundamental part of our nature is where we know to do that. To love that part of us that's grieving, love that part of us that's angry, love the part of us that's frustrated, confused, you know, because that's what it's like to be human. We all go through that. Nobody's enlightened. And if they are, I want to go study with them. But there's nothing wrong with all of those feelings. And I think that's a big part of why we don't love ourselves, is because we're not supposed to feel them. We're not supposed to feel angry. We're not supposed to feel mad. We're not supposed to, you know, there's a whole laundry list of the feelings we're not supposed to have. We're just supposed to have smiley people around us and be another smiley person because we're afraid to feel those feelings. But underneath those feelings is love, because that's who we are at our essence, our little newborn baby essence. And it's,
I also think,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that when you get so busy where you're going, you can avoid thinking about those things that you might not like about yourself or love about yourself, right? And I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So do you see it as building up, at kind of like the dark shadow in the corner?
Oh yeah, in my life I see it building up. It's like I finally get going so fast, I finally just crash. And the pandemic has been very good for me in pulling me back to my center, and giving me time to think and love myself more rather than running from things that I don't love about myself.
Yeah.
I find that, and I don't know if any of you ever are like this, but I was always taught to believe in myself and my abilities. And for the most part, I do. But then there's sometimes I don't. Or if you encounter somebody with a strong personality who comes at you from a whole different direction, it really causes you to question yourself in all different kinds of ways. I don't think it tears down your love of yourself, but you might not like yourself that for a minute. But I think being able to sit down and evaluate what you're doing, are you doing it for the right reasons? Is it going to hurt anybody or no? Is it going to benefit people? Having the time to do that and really take the time to do that is huge. And that gives me confidence in myself and causes me to love myself.
So can I ask you, when you say it causes you to love yourself, what is it that you see in order to feel that towards yourself again? What do you see for yourself?
That my intuitions and my innate feelings were right all along. You know, my intentions, what I thought, you know, I always think of it as like, well, I did have a good upbringing. This is why I did it. You know, it was those things that we were taught, the way I was taught to behave, the way I was taught to think about things as a young girl and growing up, it validates that. And I think, well, yep, you know, I wasn't wrong, you know, and my values are good. And that causes me to believe in myself and love myself enough to let me to do that.
Nice.
I don't know if any of you ever had a man yell at you, but a man yells at you and sometimes they can be like brutal. Holy moly. And all you're trying to do is not cry. I am not crying because you know you're right. You know you're right, or what you did for the right reasons, and they just come blasting at you, right? I've had a couple of those, and it's really interesting, and you know, kind of slink away to my corner and cry and curl up in the fetal position and think about things for a while, and it's usually it's takes a couple of days sometimes to come around from that. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. But...
Yeah.
Sounds hard.
It's hard. It is not. Yeah.
I think I've suffered more from women doing that, and I expect something different, quite frankly. And I think the thing for me, Teddy, is, and this is where the love of self or love and self comes in, is that I've had enough training now where I can say, well, why would you think that? I can ask questions as opposed to just absorbing it. I try to be curious, but there is a part of me inside that is terrified or overwhelmed. Yeah. But I'm trying to learn a new muscle that asks questions and doesn't respond with the same amount of anger or the same amount of aggression or whatever, but doesn't necessarily accept what they're saying as the truth, you know, that stands up for myself by trying to understand or ask questions or simply say, well, I think that we disagree, but I don't have to take it from anyone. And I think that that's a change for me in terms of love and self, that when I was younger, I would have accepted it as the gospel. And I would have been worthless you know? And
I hear that, yeah.
As an older person, I don't. I might consider it. I might think about it. I might even forgive them, though I will not forget them. Mm-hmm. And I will not seek to be in those situations where I feel that trauma, because I don't wish that in my life. And I'm sorry, I can't see everybody's names because I don't have my readers on, but I think it was Kathleen. Kathleen, but something you were saying from the Pima Chodron made me think about choice. And I love the simplicity of, will this choice help me move forward? Is this choice who I am? Is this choice who I want? Mm-hmm. And I want to say that I have a dear friend who long ago said to me, I'm only going to make good choices. And I actually wrote it on a post-it and stuck it on my computer. Because I think we need sometimes, especially in those highly emotional situations where we shut down or where we give other people more control over our perception of ourselves, we need to have something we can fall back on, some quick mantra or question we ask ourselves, something that we don't allow that to be the truth, that we don't have to ignore things. We don't have to not question. But we should not accept their truth as necessarily ours.
Yeah. I'm not saying I accept their truth.
No, I know. I heard you. I heard you speak of the trauma of it, actually, of someone yelling at you. And good for you for thinking about it. But I think that I don't want to be yelled at anymore, quite frankly. I want more peaceful communications in my life. And I think people have a choice how they communicate, just like I have a choice how I respond. And I want people to take responsibility for their choices. And the bottom line is whether they do or they don't, I can express love of self to choose which situations I'm going to stay in.
Yeah. And do you think... Here's what I'm thinking when you say that, is that is an act of love by choosing. And also to realize that for me, and I, when we get triggered, we can't make very intelligent choices. Nevertheless, when we are aware that somebody is speaking from, what is it in the Four Agreements, is never take anything personally. Because people have, going back to what we were saying earlier, people have their own perspective. It's different from ours. And I keep recalling this image, and I may have shared this at an earlier time in our group, but I remember watching a movie about the Dalai Lama before he left Tibet, and he was meeting with Chinese officials, and there was a Chinese official who was standing 5 inches from his face, screaming at the top of his lungs at the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama is looking at him as if he was looking at a blank wall. And I was just astonished by it, because he was neutral. At least he was responding neutrally. And to me, that goes back to understanding that people are speaking from their own unique perspective. It isn't true necessarily. It doesn't necessarily have to agree with mine, but it's not personal to me. And to me, that is an act of love, as well as what you were saying, Joy, of you don't have to submit to it. You don't have to be a doormat to somebody else, but to have that awareness that people are coming from their own perspective, which is not yours, and it's not personal, is also an act of love. So there's a lot of components, I think, to that, to the question.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought it up, Teddy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Teddy.
I was really happy, Joanne, that you said that in your family, the one who came at you was your mother rather than your father, because I married a man who was that way, who came at me. but he was just like my mother and not like my father. My father was a really gentle, loving person, and whatever I have of love in me was a gift that he gave me, that he demonstrated for me and showed to me. I feel like my, that's all. I was just really appreciative that we were looking at both genders there, because and relating to what Sue was saying, it was probably 10 years before I could get over my father's death. I was with him when he died. I was holding him in my arms, and it was years before I could even think about him. It was so painful to even think about him. But I wouldn't have missed that experience for anything. It was pivotal and really shaped myself in some ways that I wouldn't have been shaped had that not happened to me. And had he not loved me all through my life, but also had he not shared his death with me, which was a really profound experience for me. So thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. I want to hop in here because I just have been waiting for this conversation and everybody's saying so many interesting things. It's such a vast subject, the subject of self and what is self, and also the subject of love and what is the source of love and where does it come from and how do we feel it and how do we know it and what or who is doing the loving, how do we avail ourselves of it. I feel like it also really is that the rubber meets the road in terms of visible, invisible, you know, all of it. So, and everybody's personal experiences are varied and deep and so much felt. And I'm thinking about that. I just want to say for myself, I feel and have experienced the sense of love being up, you know, present at all times, or it's all present and can I be present to it? And it doesn't have to necessarily come through a person, or it can come through so many different avenues, or I can be in love or feel the love that is in different ways from different sources, you know, particular sources. I have this image that it's just like there's this giant, like, you know, there's this giant universal ball, you know, like this energy that is just there, and that I can by meditation or by singing or by whatever, I can be with it, or I can and be accepting of all of it, like in the guest house, you know. So that's really feels like the challenge to me, to be willing to choose to lean in that direction, you know, even when it feels like, how could I possibly do that? Because sometimes, you know, you're in the mood, and sometimes somebody just does something really fucked up and you have to just hate them, or somebody, you know, there's so many different ways that I'm not there. But as we get older, I feel like the membrane gets thinner, and it becomes the most pressing question, really. So anyway, it's kind of general, but I just wanted to say something because it's important.
Yeah.
I'm feeling your grief about your sister. I feel like it's a really important opening time, and it's a sacred moment right now, especially. when someone you're really deeply connected to crosses over. Such a sacred time.
I think that was really beautifully put, Mary. And so there's something, gosh, there's so many things people have said, such wise and piercing questions. Nina, in talking about love, you know, I guess I looked at it more like a feeling, but you're really saying it's acts and behaviors. It's like a loving act doesn't necessarily come out of a feeling of love, but being, so that's a whole question I'm gonna explore this week with myself. And then Sue, you said something, you know, when you were talking about what is it when I'm not acting and behaving and thinking and who am I and without my identity, and which I think are all questions really that grief exacerbates. But maybe, I mean, but then looking at what we talked before of what the real self is underneath all of that, it just being, as Nina says, love or consciousness or wholeness. I kind of think when we die, when we give up our acting and identity and getting up out of bed and going to the refrigerator and getting something and fixing food for people and all these actions that we take, that we're leaving those behind when we die, and we're really going to that place where we really all are before we start acting and developing an identity and stuff. So you have to shed all of that to really, unless you're totally enlightened, you know, in order to get back to that place that we were before we assumed these identities.
I know we're running late, but can I say something?
Yeah.
Mary spoke to it. It's kind of like I've been watching perspective. It's really liquid, and with some of this stuff falling away from me, I feel like I've experienced a different kind of come from around some of these really hard moments. My living sister, Barbara, and I, you know, there's history, there's judgment, there's all that stuff. And when I was making my decision not to go to see Marcia in the hospital, I found myself saying to Barbara, and I never even had this point of view before, it's like, there may be times where you're gonna judge me for this. And when you do, I hope you don't have to hang out there too long. I'm judging myself, and I'm trying not to hang out there too long when I'm in that place of judgment. And I hope that you can, you know, not cling to it when it comes. And it's like, when I said that, it was like we saw each other in a more naked way, Barbara and I. It was just like some kind of stepping beyond. And I don't know how to say it better than that, but it was big.
Sounds big and beautiful and honest and loving.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a spectrum that, you know, when we first start to realize about self-life, we might be a little bit pugnacious about it, defending our position to love ourselves. And I think of what Mary and Sue have been describing, and Kathleen, what you described, and as sort of further down the spectrum where it's more, you know, the connection with others. But first I have to find it from myself, and I declare it boldly. And I just want to comment, and I am so glad you had the example of your father, because I think we all need someone to love us truly, not call it love, but actually demonstrate that love as it really is meant to be, so that we understand what it looks like, feels like, is. We need good examples so that we can choose that. And they come in different people in our life. And I think that's a really important point. Good examples.
Yeah.
You know, before you go, I made you girls a gift. So you girls inspired me. So I went and got a coloring book. And I didn't have the right, these are markers. I wanted to do color pens, but these are my leaf hearts.
Oh, all of you. Oh, so pretty.
And then the next one I'm on, and I'm going to read it to you here. It says, believe in magic, dream in color, and live in wonder. Oh, and I these are that. For you.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Love you.
Wow.
I'm going to show you a painting.
Oh, how pretty.
Wait.
That's what I said.
I love it.
Thank you. Pink and green. Oh my God. You never know what's going to happen.
Will you take a picture?
There will be pictures. Yes.
Will you put it on the site, on the Mighty Network? Yeah. It's beautiful.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So we're at the top of the hour. And what are we talking about next week?
What, are we done with this one?
We don't have to be. We can keep on with this one, or we can do something else. Up to you. What's the vote?
What if we talk about what we're passionate about, and everyone can share the one thing that keeps us? Have we done that already? Maybe we've already done that.
But
something that we really love about what has kept us moving forward.
Well, and I think that ties in with the love and creativity, right?
Yeah.
Art and music and dance, or what is the thing that maybe draws us towards that love of sound? I like that idea.
Like bring something. We have to show something, that whether it's an instrument or art piece. I don't know.
Too much pressure for me.
Oh, Joanne.
All you need to do is pick up one of your pets, Joanne, and show us the cat and the dog.
That's not hard. Yeah.
So shall we call that inspiration?
Yeah.
Okay.
Motivation.
Inspiration. Inspiration.
All right. We shall do that then. Great.
Love and inspiration. It's beautiful. Perfect.
Well, thank you everyone for a really wonderful call. I so appreciate you're all being so honest and open and vulnerable and totally lovable.
Thank you.
Love.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Have a great weekend.
Happy New Year, everybody.
New Year.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.